You're welcome back to Morning Ireland at 11 minutes past 7. Let's go to Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt first this morning, where thousands of people are attending the COP27, the Conference of Parties, to discuss the single biggest threat facing us all, the continued burning of fossil fuels, which is destroying our planet. Our environment correspondent George Lee is there. George, this is a conference that's continuing for 2 weeks. The Taoiseach's arriving today. What will he tell the COP?
Well, interesting. The Taoiseach is certainly much more on side in terms of what the COP agenda is than Ireland would have been, say, 5 or 10 years ago for certain, because Ireland has increased its climate ambitions in a significant way. It's very much in favour of funding and finding funding for the supporting developing countries to improve their preparation for climate change. Our fund in relation to that is being increased. There was €25 million included in the budget this year, and the idea is to get that, our contribution, up to €225 million by 2025. But on top of that, he's making the point, and likely to make the point, that Ireland's very much in favour of addressing the issue of loss and damage, which is when we turn on the news or the TV and we see all of these dreadful, devastating pictures of floods in the likes of Pakistan or famines in Africa, or the dreadful impact that the climate disasters have on the poorest countries, that really we do at the back of our minds know that it is the rich countries who have been putting the emissions into the atmosphere causing that. So that whole notion of loss and damage is on the agenda. So he's very much in favour of addressing that, and he's starting off with some high-level meetings which are related to supporting the poorest countries in the world.
In the years since COP26, George, in Glasgow, which had such high profile and so much coverage, 194 countries were asked to strengthen their plans to reduce emissions by 51% by 2030 and then carbon neutral by 2050. Only 29 have done so. Is Ireland one of them?
Well, Ireland's approach to all of this is tied up with the European Union. Now, the European Union is currently negotiating and finalising a new package called Fit for 55, which is a 55% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. And it involves a very significant cranking up of the effort right throughout Europe. So that's been finalised, and the Irish effort is really in that. So I don't think that we're coming with anything separate to that, but we're rolling in behind all of that. So Ireland, in that sense, may not have put it on the table because the European thing isn't ironed out. But so I don't think we're one of the 20, but we're certainly in there in the mix in terms of coming to the table with something. But that's 165 countries, they made that point yesterday, who they're waiting to hear about on this. And it's very, very mixed because it's been such a difficult year. It is a difficult time for so many governments, so many countries. They're focused on their own priorities after the Putin war in Ukraine and the difficulties and the crisis in terms of food prices, in terms of inflation running away, in terms of public finances, such as the UK with a huge hole in their public finances of £50 billion. So where would this money or the efforts come and the focus come to put climate first? Well, it should be there, according to everybody here at COP27. But the governments, of course, are dealing with the fire in front of them right now in some cases. So there's a bit of feet dragging or foot dragging might be the right description. I don't think anybody's come out right and said, no, we're not going to increase our emissions targets or come to the table with something. But the pressure will be on here.
Yes, because even if the current plans come to fruition, and that's a doubt for many countries, rather than cutting emissions by 51% by 2030, those emissions would actually rise by 10%.
Indeed, and isn't that the great difficulty we have? Because all of the reports we've had in recent weeks and months, whether they're coming from the International Panel on Climate Change, the United Nations World Meteorological Organization, or the UN Environment Programme, or any others, they're all pointing to exactly what you say. We are so far off course in terms of globally, in terms of the target of reducing emissions. They've gone up in so many places. There's an emissions gap report out recently. It showed that they've gone well up rather than well down, that methane, the rise in methane, has been of a record level. Methane is a very, very, very potent greenhouse gas, much more potent than just carbon dioxide, although it doesn't stay in the atmosphere for as long. And there's big efforts to see, can we do something about that? But But this is a situation where there is no time to waste. It has been described as a closing window of opportunity, a last chance for a generation to do something to make sure the catastrophic climate change doesn't impact on the world and doesn't have devastating impacts, which would be completely irreversible, that we don't reach tipping points, which would put us completely out of control, and that really the effort has to be made. And the fact that this is an African COP insofar as it's in Egypt, you know, that whole message in terms of the vulnerable nations relying on the rich nations to do their part and to play their part, that very, very strong here. And where will the money come from? And one other thing, that whole issue about climate cooperation. In the last, say, 12 months in particular, you know, there has been increased tensions, global geopolitical tensions, not just because of Ukraine, but between China and the United States, the two biggest emitters in the world. And that has put some kind of, something in the way of cooperation. There's been a suspension almost of climate change cooperation between the two biggest emitters. That's not good. So when you see all of those things, it becomes frustrating for those writing these reports, for the scientists who are pointing out again and again what good science is telling them about how far we have to go and how far away from the target we're getting. And so you get the situation where instead of emissions going down, they're going up. Instead of temperatures approaching 1.5 degrees, they're approaching possibly 2.8 degrees by the end of the century. So it's very frustrating and the pressure is on.
And George, just back to where we started, and you say, where will the money come from for loss and damage for those developing countries who contribute overall to around 4% of global emissions and yet suffer the most devastating consequences, millions at risk of famine, thousands killed in floods in Pakistan. How, even if there is a pledge of money, I'm minded that in 2009 they all agreed $100 billion for such countries, and yet 13 years on, they're nowhere near delivering anywhere close to that level of funding.
Yeah, the money is the big issue, is one of the biggest issues. One of the things, that whole notion of loss and damage, the $100 billion fund per year that you mentioned there, from agreed in 2009, that was money to be there for climate finance, so that the poorest countries could have access to a flow of funds which would be helping them to prepare for some of the climate adaptation issues that they would have to do, like changing various, it could be a village having to move or something like that. The loss and damage issue is more controversial. This is the issue that, have you not seen what's going on in our country? Have you not seen the people displaced and so on? This is a huge loss and damage that ultimately you have to understand that the Western countries and the richer countries have been largely responsible for the climate change that caused that. So we want compensation. We want loss and damage money. Now that is really difficult, and it hasn't actually got on the agenda in that form. It's got on as loss and damage, and it will be on the agenda. It is a huge issue here, and it is about money. But the issue of compensation, the word compensation, that is not included in the agenda. So nobody wants, from the richer countries, to be presented with an open-ended bill for climate disasters. So they're willing to talk about the issue of understanding the loss and the damage and the requirement to help these countries, but they don't want somebody coming on with endless amounts of open-ended demands for compensation. Now that's controversial. Okay. And it's very unlikely that we're going to be getting a huge agreement in terms of money just at this COP, but it is to keep that show on the road, to keep the pressure on the road, with the hope that maybe by the end of next year, possibly the following year, they will have a brand new fund, or at least an acknowledgement that loss and damage has to be, that money has to be provided for that as well as ordinary climate finance.
George, thank you very much. George Lee, our environment correspondent, live from Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt. It's 7:20.